Well, this morning we are back in the book of 2 Samuel as we have been talking and preaching about the life of David. We know the last time that I spoke to you, last Sunday morning, David had received news that Saul was dead. You remember the story and how that David, in many ways, loved his enemy. Saul was his enemy. He was against David, sought to kill him and hunt him down. But in 2 Samuel chapter 1, we read that entire chapter last week, how that David, we find there, he spoke nothing ill of Saul. In fact, he lifted him up and he praised God. And no wonder David was a man after God's own heart, because David could love his enemy. And that's what God has commanded us to do. Now we come to 2 Samuel chapter 2. And I want you to know something. The scenery is a little different. Saul is dead, and therefore the children of Israel are scattered. There is no king now. And Samuel has already anointed David to be king many years before this. And David is the man of God that God wants to be king. Can I say this? It would be very natural for David to go on up and to assume his kingship, but David does something totally different. Because David has learned something about waiting on God. And this morning I want to preach to you on this subject: when a Christian waits on God. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Sometimes we think waiting on God is just waiting, like we would wait at a red light, or we would wait for something to happen or something to start. And there is an element of truth that we are waiting on God to move and waiting on God to intervene. But it is so much more than that. Because, brethren, when we wait on the Lord, we see the blessing that only God can provide. Let's read 2 Samuel chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse number 1. When a Christian waits on the Lord. Let's begin. 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 1. And it came to pass after this, that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said, unto Hebron. So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. And his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead, and said unto them, blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you. And I also will requite you this kindness, because ye have done this thing. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened, and be ye valiant. For your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them. But Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim, and made him king over Gilead, and over the Asherites, and over Jezreel, and over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, and over all Israel. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel. And he reigned 2 years, but the house of Judah followed David. And the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Now, we understand what has taken place here. And by the way, it is almost a little confusing. Why does David not go up with his men and take the rest of the nation? We understand that there was different provinces within this area of Israel. Judah was where David was from, and therefore Judah, and they made David king over them. But over all the other people, Abner, who was the captain, he was kind of like the commander-in-chief of all the armies of Saul. He, of his own strength, he strengthened himself. And by the way, he was only concerned with himself. He was not concerned for the people of God. And he was not really concerned for Ishbosheth. Ishbosheth was nothing but a puppet. And Ishbosheth, he put him in place, therefore Abner being behind him. And they are controlling all the other kingdoms. And in a sense, there is a civil war that has broken out. You know something, to me it would have been very natural for David to say, God has called me to be king, and Samuel anointed me, and the people have anointed me again, and I'm going to go up and steal the hearts of the people, in the sense I'm going to bring peace to the heart of the people. And I believe that David could have rationalized. He could have said, the Philistines have invaded the land, and David was the best fit to take care of that. But David did something very unusual. David had made many mistakes. Remember Ziklag? David didn't belong in Ziklag. What was he doing there? He had joined forces with the Philistines. He was so discouraged and he was so disheartened that David went to Ziklag. And remember, David was getting ready to go to battle with the Philistines against his own people. And David should have never went to Ziklag. He was out of the will of God. So David has learned something about waiting on God. He is sensitive to God's direction. He is sensitive to the Lord's leading in his life. And let me tell you this. God was in no hurry to put David on the throne. To me, I'll tell you, it's hard to wait, is it not, sometimes? Sometimes when it does not seem as if God answers our prayer as quickly as we would like for him to answer. And brethren, oftentimes I think that God is late. And every time I think God is late, it is because I am just ahead of the Lord. You see, brethren, God is never late. He is always on time. And here, God was in no hurry to put David on the throne. And now we understand in the last verse, verse number 11 that we read, that it was 7.5 years that David was only king over Judah before he became king over all the nation of Israel. For 7.5 years, what did David do? He waited on the Lord. Now, he waited for God's timing. You see, God was in no hurry to put David on the throne because when you and I are in a hurry, we always run ahead of God. You know something I think you and I can say this morning, that some of the biggest mistakes we have made in our lives have been when we have run ahead of God. We have tried to do God's work for him, per se. In a sense, it is not trusting the Lord. In a very sense, it is not waiting on God. God was more interested in preparing David to be king than he was putting David on the throne of Israel. God was making a man. Now, you know, this ideal of waiting upon the Lord, God's word is filled with men waiting on God. Go with me quickly and let's go to the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter number 33. And we're going to stay in Psalms for a little bit of time as we talk about when the Christian waits on God. Although the Lord had promised David the kingdom and although Saul was dead and Samuel had anointed him, David was not hasty to take matters into his own hands, but desire to submit himself unto God's directions and act only according to the revealed will of God. All throughout the Bible, we find men and women who have gotten ahead of God. Remember Abraham? Abraham, God had promised him a child. And God had said, I will give you and Sarah a child. But remember Abraham? He did not wait on the Lord. And Abraham took, remember, Sarah's mistress or Sarah's servant, and he married her and had a child with her. And Abraham said, I've taken care of this. And in a sense, he had done God's work for him. But look at all the trouble that that caused Abraham because of he did not wait on the Lord. Psalm, the Bible tells us here in chapter number 33. I want you to look in verse number 17. Psalm chapter 33 and verse 17. Notice what the Bible says about waiting upon God. The Bible says, an horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, and upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Here the psalmist is saying, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. And the Bible tells us, the horse, that's a vain thing. We should not put our trust in man. We should not put our trust or confidence in things of which seem to have great might and strength. Our hope and trust must be in the Lord. Let's go to Psalm chapter 37. Would you turn there? And look what the Bible says in verse number 7. I'll tell you, if you will study the Bible, you will find all throughout God's Word, God has commanded us as His people to wait upon the Lord. And in just a moment, I'm going to talk about what that means. What does it mean to wait upon God? Psalm 37, verse 7, the Bible says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Go to verse number 34 of the same chapter, Psalm chapter 37. Notice what the Bible says, Psalm 37, verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. All throughout the Bible, we find this theme of waiting upon God. It is looking to the Lord. Yes, it is waiting as we pray. Yes, it is waiting as we study and read the Word of God. And we find our hope, we find our confidence in God's Word. But can I give it to you simply? Waiting is depending upon God to supply our every need. It is the ideal, if you were to see, and we're coming up on springtime, and I know in our yard we have some trees and we have some spruce trees there. And every year without fail, there will be a nest within our largest spruce tree, which is just a little bit taller than I am. And boy, we can find it in there, and we'll see the little baby eggs in there. And you know something, boy, that mama bird takes time and effort to build that nest. But you know something, those little baby birds within that nest, can I tell you what they must do? They must wait on their mother bird. They cannot feed themselves. Did you know that? They can't get out of that nest and find worms and find things to feed themselves. They cannot protect themselves. In fact, we have lots of other creatures around our neighborhood too, you know? Coons and skunks and all kinds of things. And sometimes we have found where the coons have gotten into the bird nest and gotten the eggs and all of that. But you know what? Those little baby birds, they can only do one thing, and that is to wait on the mother bird. The mother bird's coming. The mother bird's going to feed them. The mother bird has already built the nest. The mother bird is going to teach them. The mother bird is going to protect them. And brethren, in a great sense, you and I must live our lives in dependence upon our Heavenly Father, that He will protect us. He will feed us. He will strengthen us. We are waiting upon Him. We are looking to the Lord. Do you know, in the day and time in which we live in, we say we trust God, and I say that I trust God, but you know what we have? We always have plan B and plan C and plan D just in case God doesn't come through. You see, we pray and we think, well, I prayed about it, and now I'm going to go ahead and do what I want to do. And sometimes our praying is praying amiss because we already made up our mind what we're going to do, and we just want to pray just to kind of get a little peace about what we've already determined to do. That is not waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is coming before God and saying, Lord, it is not my will. It is not my way. It is not my plan. Lord, I wait on you to give me direction. I wait on you to find the very heart of God about this issue. And David, we would have thought, in fact, I bet you lots of men said to David, David, God has given you the kingdom. We know it. You are God's chosen men. Let's go. We can take over the nation of Israel. David, this would be the best thing to do. All the people are scattered, and David, we don't want Ishbosheth on the throne. He's just a puppet. And Abner is a wicked man and a man filled with himself. And David, come on, let's go. Let's do this. And I'm sure there was something within the very heart of David. He was a shepherd at heart. He was a patriot at heart. And I'm sure he wanted to go protect the people and take care of the people. David stopped and he said, no, I will wait on the Lord. And David inquired of the Lord. And David said, God, should I go up? And the Lord said, yes. And then David said, Lord, where do I go up? And God said, go to Hebron. I find something very beautiful about what we see here when a Christian waits on the Lord. Number one, when a Christian waits on the Lord, he seeks the Lord only. Now take your Bibles and go to Psalm chapter number 62, because I want to show you a Psalm of David. Now, David wrote all the Psalms, most of them, not every one of them. But David wrote Psalm 62, and David here is seeking something. Can I ask you something today? What are you seeking? Everyone here is seeking something. And let me put it in a different way. You are seeking someone. Do you know that I have found that a lot of times in my praying, my praying is just wanting God to give me something. God, do this. God, fix this. God, straighten this out. God, guide me with this. But wait a minute. Can I tell you that when we wait upon God, we are not necessarily wanting something from God. We are just wanting God. And brethren, there is a great difference there. Waiting upon God is not saying, God, you got to come through here. And we may have something that we need God to come through. But waiting on God draws our attention to God alone and saying, Lord, I just want to know you. And I just want your smile upon my life. That is what it means to wait upon God. You know, I have been guilty. And I think all of us would say that we have been. Sometimes we go through trials and difficulties or we have decisions to make in life. And you know what happens? I'll tell you what happens. You and I do the same thing. We lean upon man and we ask everyone else their counsel and we want their advice. And there's nothing wrong with godly counsel. And the Bible tells us that a counsel is wise. When we seek the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom in that. But I'm afraid so often we seek our human reasoning, we lean upon that, we lean upon our friends, we lean upon this person, we lean upon that person, when waiting upon God is seeking God only. And that's what David did not ask the men, what do you think I should do? I'm sure lots of men wanted to tell him what to do. David did not seek anyone else. David said he inquired of the Lord. You see, when we wait on God, a Christian seeks God only. Psalm chapter 62, we must read this together. Notice this. The Bible says in verse 1, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Now, let's stop. You may say, well, Pastor, I understand that. I understand that God gave His Son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ died upon the cross, and He provided salvation for any man, woman, boy, or girl that is willing to place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But that's not what verse 1 is meaning here. Verse 1 is saying, what do you need to be saved from? It could be a besetting sin. It could be a trial, a temptation. It could be, brethren, God wants to save us all from ourselves and our own selfish ways and our selfish motives. God works in our lives. And David is saying, I'm waiting upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. No one else or nothing else. David is absolutely saying, there is nothing in me to save myself. There is nothing within me to protect myself or to provide for myself. Verse 2, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? He shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. Now, by the way, who is David talking about there? He's talking about Saul. He's remembering how Saul lied about him and he turned the heart of a people against David. And David was, he was sought after as a man would seek a wild animal. And David is saying, I don't have anyone else to turn to but God. No one understands. No one can understand what I'm dealing with. He says, but only God is my salvation. We read on in verse 5, my soul. He's speaking to himself. You know why it's good to talk to yourself when you're talking to yourself about the Lord? He says, my soul, wait thou only upon God. And look at this, for my expectation is from him. What are you expecting this morning? Are you expecting that someone will help you? You expecting that something will change at your job? But brethren, David said, my expectation is from God, from him alone. My eyes are fixed on him. I'm the baby bird in the nest and I'm waiting on him. No one else can take care of me. No one else can save me from this situation. He only, that is waiting on God. It is recognizing that we are seeking God only. You know something, I believe if we all would examine our lives, we would find that we all have a lot of confidences in things that we should not have confidence in. Do you know that Paul said that he had no confidence in his flesh? And the Bible tells us that we are not to have confidence in man. We are not to put our trust and our dependence upon someone who is not perfect. But brethren, this morning we can trust the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ never changes. His love for us never falters. He is the perfect God-man. And brethren, as we look to God, he is our trust, our refuge. We read on here. Notice verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. You know something? There are times when it is very precious to me when my children want to talk to me about something they're struggling with. It could be something at school. It could be something in their own personal life. And you know what? When my children come to me and they pour their heart to me, out to me, do you think that I look down upon that? Oh, no. Do you think that I say, no, come on, you should have been grown up by now? Oh, no. I wrap my arms around them. I'm their father. And I love them and care for them. And I will do anything to help them and to comfort them and to strengthen them. But brethren, it is the same when we come to our God. David said, trust in him in all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Brethren, the song we sing, Christ is all I need, all I need. That's a wonderful song. But Jesus is not all you need, or at least you think you need, until he is all that you have. When we come to the place to where we say that I'm going to seek God only, I'm going to look to God only, I'm going to look to him by faith only, that is where David is waiting upon God. You see, waiting signifies dependence. He's waiting. He's waiting. It's kind of like sometimes we will have children here that in our Christian school that are waiting on their parents to pick them up. And maybe something has happened or, you know, their parents are late from work or whatever it may be, and that's not a problem. And we put them in the office here and they're sitting there. And there's been times when my wife and I have been around and we say, hey, do we need to take you home? And they say, oh, no, my parents will come. You know, the confidence that they have. My mom and dad's not going to leave me here. My mom and dad's not going to let me stay here. I know what they are coming. Brethren, that is the significance of waiting upon God. Someone may say, hey, you need something else. No, no, God will come through. You need to go ahead and take things in your own hands and you got to kind of fix things for your own self. No, no, God is coming through. I'm waiting on the Lord. The Lord is coming. He is my rock. He is my refuge. I have no one to turn to but Jehovah God. That's where David has come to. You see, make God the one and only object in your life. Do you know where we get off track is where we listen to the views of man and we listen to the philosophy of man rather than thus saith the Lord. And by the way, brethren, if you have confidence in yourself, if you depend upon your wisdom or your ways, you are not waiting upon the Lord. Because waiting on God is saying, God, I'm looking to you. You see, when David said, my soul, wait thou only upon God, David was really saying, my soul, have no care but to please God? Do you know if you try to live your life to please people, you won't be very happy in life? Because you cannot please everyone. That's impossible. But let me say this to you. I can please the Lord Jesus Christ. I can live seeking the approval of God and of God alone. And that's what David is saying. I'm sure the men and women said, why doesn't David go up? Is David not a warrior anymore? And in a sense, it almost looks like, David, are you being passive? David, why are you not going up and taking what is rightfully yours? David, why don't you go up? You're a man of God. You're a warrior. You can do this. But David said, I am waiting only upon God. My expectation is from Him. David was saying, I'm not going to take what God has already given to me. I'm going to let God bring it in His own time. David was waiting. David was saying, I want the approval of my God. I want God to do it in His timing. That is when we wait upon God. Brethren, make God your one and only object in life. Make God our only dependence, and we trust in Him and Him alone. And by the way, you say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? You know something, when we come to the Word of God and we get into God's Word day by day and we spend that time in prayer, you know something, prayer is an act of my dependence upon God. And when I come to His Word guides me and gives me direction, because that's what David is doing. David inquires of the Lord. David is saying, God, what do you want? You see, when we wait upon God, He is our guide. He is our confidence. We are trusting in Him. When a Christian waits on God, he seeks God only. Number two, when a Christian waits on the Lord, he submits to God's plan. There is a struggle that takes place in every one of us all the time, and that is that we rebel against the will of God. Do you know that my greatest struggle is surrendering to God? You say, now, wait a minute, Pastor, you're a pastor, and you're supposed to lead the church, and you're supposed to have all this figured out. Oh, I don't. Can I tell you this? My greatest battle is yielding to God. And that must be a daily thing, and sometimes it's a moment-by-moment thing. What happens when God brings something into your life that you don't want? Submit to God. Yield to the Lord. What happens when we don't want to do something that God is putting in our heart to do? Something that we're supposed to give up. Some sin that we are supposed to confess and forsake. Some restitution to be made. Some problem that we need to know. We need to deal with that. We must submit to the plan of God. That's what David is doing. David inquires of God and he's saying, Lord, I only want what you want for my life. You see, the old Puritans used to have a saying, and they would say this, as sure as ever a Christian carves, they said, for himself he'll cut his own fingers. The ideal there is, can I tell you something? If you try to carve out your own life, you'll ruin your life. If you try to promote yourself, you'll destroy yourself. If you try to exalt yourself, you will bring yourself down. In fact, the Bible says that we are to humble ourselves, and then the Lord will exalt us. The man's way and God's way are in opposition in this world in which we live in. Man's way is to get ahead. Man's way is to step on as many people as you can to get to the top. Man's way is to promote yourself and exalt yourself and lift yourself up. But God's way is to die to self. God's way is to live for one another. God's way is to surrender yourself. God's way is to relinquish yourself to God. And the key to victory and the key to joy in life is when we say, Lord, I submit to every plan of yours for my life. You know what? That starts with God's Word. That starts when we read the Bible and pray and God deals with us and we know the truth of God's Word. We know His commandments and we do not submit to them. We are, in a sense, rebelling against God. But David said, no, no, Lord, I'm not going to do what I've done in the past. I'm not going to go up and take Ziklag. I'm not going to run away from things. And I'm not going to take things in my own hands. Lord, I'm going to trust you. And David submitted to God's plan. You see, to wait for the Lord means that we are pausing for instruction. A few weeks ago, we had one of the warmest days. In fact, it was on record the warmest day in Ohio of ever recorded. And that was just a few weeks ago when it was like 68, 69 degrees. Beautiful day. But my wife and I and our son Joshua, we spent the whole day in an emergency room on that day. I remember at one point I had to walk out and get something in the car. And boy, it was so beautiful and it was so warm. And I thought, oh, Lord, I'd sure like to be out here, you know. But can I tell you what we were doing that day? For 10 hours, you know what we did in the emergency room? Waited. Now, we were back in the room and Joshua was in the bed and they were running tests and they were running blood work and they were checking this and that. But the whole time, you know what we did? Waited. It's hard to wait. I remember my wife and I sitting there, and boy, I couldn't sit long. I had to get up and pace and walk because you know what we were doing? Waiting on the doctor, waiting on the results, waiting on the test, waiting. You know what? In a sense, we were dependent that moment on that doctor and those group of doctors to come in and say, this is what we have found. We are waiting on instruction. We are waiting on guidance. And in a sense, we could have got up and left, but we would have ruined what had taken place that day. And brethren, oftentimes God puts us in the emergency rooms of life. And you know what? It's sunny outside, but it's not inside the room. And it's kind of lonely in the room. And there's not a whole lot to do in the room, but wait. What are we waiting on? We are not waiting on something. We are waiting on God. We are waiting on knowing Him. That's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. To Paul, it was all about Jesus. It was all about knowing Him and loving Him and pleasing Him and obeying His will. I wonder this morning, have you relinquished all rights to yourself and say to God, I have no rights of my own? Lord, I die to myself. I die to my dreams. I die to my desires. And Lord, I yield to Your will, to Your plan. Brother, that is where the secret of the happiness of life is found, is when we yield to God. David is saying, God, Lord, I'm waiting on You. I'm waiting for Thy will to be done. You see, David inquired of the Lord. And I think that's very important. You know what? David, in a sense, it was for God to give him the kingdom. Now, God had already given it to him, but he was waiting on God to bring it to pass. And David refused to take one step toward the throne unless God was in it. You know what David was doing? David was, in a great sense, he was not judging according to his eyes. He was saying, Lord, I'm waiting on You. Because everything else would say, David, go. And the men would say, David, go. Go take the throne, David. It's time to take the throne. God's given you the throne. But David did something, what we find in Proverbs. Take your Bibles, go to Proverbs chapter number 3. David refused to lean to his own understanding. Do you know, so often I judge things according to what I see them to be. And I make a lot of mistakes that way, and so do all of us. But you know something, when we do not lean to our own understanding, but we lean to what God's way is, His plan. Notice what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3. We'll look in verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now that right there is where we get in trouble. We lean to our own understanding. David could have done that day. David could have said, look what God has done. I'm going to go up and take the throne. The people need this. The Philistines have invaded the land. We'll run them out. We'll do what needs to be done. But David would not lean to what he thought. Look what it says in verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Verse number 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Here, this Solomon is writing this, and Solomon is saying, trust in God with all your heart. Look only to the Lord. You're awaiting upon God. You're wanting to know the mind of the Lord, His will, His plan, not yours. Do you know, when I spent 12 years working with young people, sometimes a young person would want to talk to me and my wife. And can I tell you what most young people do when they want counsel? They've already made up their mind. They just want you to approve of what they want to do. And so often they would come and say, You know, I've prayed about this, and that always bothers me a little bit because that's what they want to say first. I prayed about this, and this is what I want to do. But wait a minute, wait a minute. What does God want you to do? Well, I've prayed about it, and this is what I'm going to do. You know, in a sense, they don't want God's will. They want their will and God to stamp His approval on their plan for their life. But you know what we must do? We must abandon our will. We must throw our plan in the trash. We must get rid of what we think is best because that's leaning to our understanding. That's leaning to our way. That's leaning to what we think and our wisdom and our philosophy. But we look to God and say, Lord, I want Your will to be done. What does God say? He says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. That's where life really is all about, is when we do not trust in our own ways, but we look to the Lord. You see, David would not take by force what God had promised, but he left it to the Lord to bring it about in God's timing. When a Christian waits on God, he seeks the Lord only. Number two, he submits to God's plan. And number three, the last thing this morning, when a Christian waits on the Lord, he sees God's divine deliverance. Take your Bibles and let's go to Psalm chapter number 40. Psalm chapter number 40. What advantage to waiting on God is it for us? What does it do for us? Psalm chapter 40 is a very precious psalm. And by the way, brethren, there is only one interpretation of Scripture, but there are many applications of Scripture. I have heard Psalm 40 used, as people have said, that is referring to when we get saved. And I believe you can apply it in that way, but that's not the interpretation. The interpretation of Psalm 40 is that God has delivered him from something because he waited on the Lord. Look what it says, verse number 1 of Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. By the way, a big part of waiting on God is praying. You know something? There is something within my heart, I don't know about you, but with me, I don't like to sit, I like to do. You know? Let's just get it done. Let's just do something. And so often, I have a hard time of sitting and praying and waiting on God to guide me, to give me direction. But David is saying, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto my cry. That implies that David was praying and praying and praying, waiting only for God. Verse 2, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. There in verse 2, David is implying that he's stuck. He's in, it's almost like quicksand that David is in. It's miry. He can't get his feet out of there. He's so stuck. I remember growing up in Knoxville, Tennessee, that one of the best parts of growing up in Tennessee was the red clay mud. Praise God for that. Doesn't wash out of anything, you know. Just ask my mama, you know. Oh, I remember I'd go out. But to me, when it was raining, that was the time to go outside and play, you know. My mom said, son, it's raining. I said, that's the best time, you know. Man, I'd go out there and me and my dog, we'd waller in mud. Man, that was the best days, you know, just wallering in mud. I remember I used to go to the creek at that time, and it was dangerous, you know, water moccasins everywhere and all that. Life was good, you know. And I remember getting out there, and of course, I'd take my shoes, socks off, you know. It's a wonder I'm alive today, you know. But I'd get out there, and I'd get in that mud. And boy, sometimes I'd stay in there so long, I couldn't even hardly get my feet out. I mean, I'd sunk deep down into that mud. David is saying here in verse 2, he is saying, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. David was saying, I was in a pit. I don't know what kind of pit, a pit of despair, a pit of depression, a pit of discouragement, a pit of disbelief. And David is down in there and he's stuck in there. And David is saying he's waiting on God. He's crying unto the Lord. He's looking to God. And he says this, he set my feet upon a rock. David said, I'm not slipping anymore. I'm not sliding anymore. He's established my goings. Verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. Look, that's so precious. You can't even number the thoughts that God has towards you and me. That's why we should wait on the Lord. He thinks about us. We read on, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Verse 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. You see, in Psalm 40, David is waiting upon God. He does not turn to man. He does not put his confidence in himself. He looks to God, and he's in that pit. And I've been in that pit before. You all have been there. A trial, a test, a heartache, a sorrow, a disappointment, whatever it may be, and you're stuck in the pit. But who can bring you out? It is God alone. And he sets your feet on a rock. And he established your goings. The ideal there is he cleans you up and gets you on your way. And he puts the song in your heart. You know, I hope Brother John doesn't mind me talking about him just here in a second. All right, Brother John Cavanaugh. But Brother John, oftentimes I hear him around the building whistling and all of that. And I think too, he's got a song in his heart. He's got the joy of the Lord in his life. You know, some there's been times in my life when I've had a song in my heart. And, boy, I'm happy about what God is doing. And I'm happy thinking about God and his blessing. But all of us need the song in our heart because the joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, what does waiting on God bring? Can I tell you this? Number one, waiting on God brings deliverance. Did you know this morning you may have something that you feel bound to? It may be bound to some sin or bound to some habit or bound to something in your life that you just cannot seem to break. But when you wait on God, he will give you deliverance. You see, we may be discouraged this morning and say we have nothing but problems and no answers. But what are we going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. When we wait on God and we do not take matters into our own hands, we wait on him and we live by faith and not by force, God delivers us. What does waiting on God bring? Waiting on God brings not only deliverance, but it brings strength. Take your Bibles and in closing, go to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I do not know if there is a more precious verse in the Bible to me. I have quoted this often to the Lord, Isaiah 40, verse 31. Can I tell you something this morning? It is against your nature and my nature to wait on God. It's against your nature and my nature to pray. It's against your nature and my nature. We are people, and by the way, do we not live in a society of no waiting? I mean, we fast food and you know how it is. I'm the same way. You get into fast food, you have to wait 3 minutes. You're mad, you know? I cannot believe I had to wait 3 minutes, you know? You know how it is. My wife, I'm telling you, bless her heart, she tries to help me sometimes and she says, honey, just be patient. I don't like to be patient, you know? I'm impatient about my lack of patience, you know? And you know, you're the same way and I'm the same way. I've done this before. I'm in a drive-thru and it's taking too long. I'll get out of drive-thru and go in and then I wait inside. I'm like, I should have stayed out there, you know. Have you ever done that before? You're in a line at Walmart, you know. They have 4,000 lanes and only two are open, you know. And you're there and then that line goes down. You're like, okay, good, get over there. And then someone forgets something. They got to go 14 aisles back and get something. You're like, I should have come back over. And you know what? It's tough to wait, is it not? It's hard. Waiting is against our nature, but waiting is not just sitting. Waiting is dependence on the Lord. Waiting is praying. Waiting is reading his word. Waiting is not rushing ahead of God. Waiting is looking for the mind of God. You see, waiting is seeking God only. Waiting is seeking his plan only. Waiting is seeing God at work. You see, when we wait on God, it brings deliverance, but it brings strength. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We could spend a long time talking about eagles, and scientists tell us that birds have three different types of air movement. They can flap their wings, which takes a lot of energy to keep themselves up in the air. They can glide, which they cannot do for long, but there are very few birds that can soar. Soar is not gliding. Soaring is where a bird's wings are so strong that he's able to take the thermal air, the hot air from the earth, and it soars him. In fact, scientists have researched that eagles, when they are soaring with the thermal heat from the earth's, atmosphere, however you want to describe it, they can go up to 80 miles an hour by doing nothing of their own. By soaring. And here Isaiah said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know why? Because our strength wanes and falters. We get weak. Our strength is gone. It's depleted. But when we wait upon God, when we go to prayer and we go to His Word and we look to Him alone and we seek Him as our confidence, we seek Him as our rock and our refuge, He strengthens us. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You see, waiting on God brings strength. Waiting on God, number three, brings endurance. You know, a lot of people start, but few people finish. I know lots of people that come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they never finish the race that God has put them in. You know what? Waiting on God, the way that we endure the race is to wait on the Lord. Number four, waiting on God brings direction. We read back in 2 Samuel chapter 2, and David inquired of the Lord and said, God, should I go up? And guess what the Lord said? Go up. Do you notice that God did not give him the whole picture? David prayed, God, do I go up? And God said, yes. Could not God have said, yes, go to Hebron, wait for 7.5 years, and then you'll be king? I would have liked that. We all want that, don't we? God, tell me the whole thing. No, God leads us step by step. Look here, I don't know what to do tomorrow, but I do know what to do today. I know the next step for me today, and that is I'm supposed to preach and allow God to use me as I preach His Word, and I'm to yield my life to God, and tonight I'm being in the house of the Lord, allowing God to speak to my heart day by day. The steps of the Lord, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And that's what God is doing for David. He is guiding him step by step. Lamentation 3:25 says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. You know what? Waiting is kind of like allowing a glass of water that's dirty. If you wait long enough, the dirt will settle to the bottom of the glass and you'll see clearly. And waiting on God gives us direction. It gives us guidance. It helps us not to make decisions based on emotion or make decisions based on what others want us to do. But waiting on God seeks Him and Him alone. Oh, David needed direction. I'm told about the Chinese bamboo tree. It's an amazing type of tree. And once the gardener plants the seed, do you know that the gardener planting the Chinese bamboo tree will see nothing but a single shoot coming out of the bulb for 5 full years? Do you know for 5 years that little just short shoot coming out from the bulb, guess what he's got to do for 5 years? Water it, feed it, take care of it. And it's just a small thing for 5 years. But guess what? At the end of 5 years, however, the Chinese bamboo tree will perform an incredible feat. It will grow an amazing 90 feet tall in only 90 days. Why? Because for 5 years, the root structure spreads deep and wide in the earth, preparing to support the incredible heights the tree will eventually reach. Why? Because for 5 years, in a sense, it waited. And brethren, can I tell you what God is doing in our lives? It might seem just like a little shoot, just a little small thing. And we say, God, when are you going to break through? Lord, when are you going to work? And Lord, when are you going to work in my life? And when are you going to do what needs to be done? When we wait on God, when we seek His plan, when we seek Him only, we will see divine, miraculous intervention. We will see God deliver. We will see God restore. We will see God give us strength and God give us deliverance and God to endure. Why? Because when a Christian waits on the Lord. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. Can I tell you something? Jesus Christ is your only answer. There is no other way. As the Christian must depend solely on the Lord, the sinner who is without Jesus Christ must depend solely on Jesus Christ. For He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is not through the waters of baptism. It is not through a church membership. It is not through doing good deeds. It is not through living a moral life. It is through Jesus Christ that salvation is a free gift to all who will ask. This morning, if you don't know Jesus, come. Look to Him. He will give you salvation. But Christian child of God, are you waiting on the Lord? Are you running ahead of God? Let's wait on Him. When a Christian waits, oh, we receive the blessing. The Lord is good unto all them that wait for Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer.